Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 16th year. This week, we feature an interview with Jay Snowden, the CEO and president of Penn National Gaming, the industry's third-largest operator, on why his focus today is as much on interactive gaming as it is on his many land-based properties. The GGP Podcast is brought to you by IGT's Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at igt.com/peak.
Baby, I see this world has made you sad.
Penn National Gaming has been the industry's third largest gaming company for more than a decade now. Jay Snowden took over from Tim Wilmott in January 2020 and immediately embarked on a plan to make Penn more interactive. 2 months later, he announced a deal to buy 36% of Barstool Sports and its millions of followers, creating a sports betting juggernaut that has had immediate success. Now that the pandemic is winding down, Snowden talks about the position of his company, the addition of other interactive pieces, and how he plans to guide Penn toward the future. He spoke with me from his offices in Pennsylvania in July.
There should be laughter after pain.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Jay Snowden, the president and CEO of Penn National Gaming. Jay, it's great to see you again.
Good to see you too, Roger.
You know, last time we met in person, I think, was in Atlantic City many years ago, and when you were working for Harrah's.
I think that's right. Had to be in that 2005, 2006, if I remember correctly, right, when I was overseeing the Showboat, and we were launching the House of Blues.
That's right, yeah.
There was a lot of attention on that, so long time ago, but in some cases, in ways, it feels like it was just yesterday.
Sure, as I question about that. Right now, I've done podcasts with your predecessor Tim Wilmott many times, and I'm glad we can start a new tradition here. So thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
So let's go back to the last 18 months. You know, started with a recap of that time. You know, recovery from the pandemic is now underway, and it's changed a lot of companies. How has it changed Penn National Gaming in permanent ways, really?
Yeah. Well, I guess as I sit back and think about the last 18 months, Roger, we decided when PASPA was overturned at the mm-hmm. U.S. Supreme Court level that it was an opportunity for us to really pivot as an organization and to focus on omnichannel, which right. we always believed was the future of the industry anyway,
sure.
is that these younger generations, we've been struggling to attract them into a brick and mortar casino. The brick and mortar average age mm-hmm. customer is mid-50s and
right.
sort of aging up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we knew if we wanted to be around for the long term, which of course we do,
sure.
that we needed to have the right platforms and the right channels to speak to a younger audience
mm-hmm.
and to attract them, but to do it in ways that are servicing their desires and the
right.
way that they like to be entertained. And so much of that is being done from a digital and interactive standpoint. So we decided to embark on this process of figuring out how we could be a real player
mm-hmm.
in online sports betting. We had the best footprint across the U.S. We operated in more states. And so when PASPA was overturned and it became a states' rights issue for legalization
right.
of sports betting and in some cases online casino, we were very well positioned.
Mm-hmm.
What we didn't have is a sports betting brand to lead with, and we didn't have access to a young audience. And so we went through a long process
right.
and you know, we eventually found our partners at Barstool, which we announced that deal at the beginning of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty exciting times in
right.
January of 20. And
sure.
2 months later, the world came crashing down
mm-hmm.
on everybody.
Right.
Chicken Little was right, and
mm-hmm.
the sky was falling. And so we stuck to our guns and said, we have the right strategy. We have
mm-hmm.
the right partnership. We just got to get through the next few months until
right.
we can reopen some of the casinos that we were required to shut all of them down at the end of March in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some dark days
sure.
in late March and all of April and most of May 2020 when your whole company's revenue producing assets were completely
sure.
shut down.
Mm-hmm.
We still had other expense obligations that we had to pay
sure.
in the form of rent and
mm-hmm.
vendors and, you know, team members
sure.
and covering benefits and all of that. So, but we got through it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it really has allowed us to do, honestly, as I take a step back and think about it, that transformation that we decided to pursue and with the announcement of Barstool, I think it was going to take us a couple of years, maybe 3 years
right.
to really convince all of the different constituencies, mm-hmm. team members, customers, shareholders, sell side analysts, researchers, right. that we could do this and that we were going to become the preeminent omni-channel brand mm-hmm. in gaming and sports betting and entertainment. So what COVID has really forced everyone to do is if you had digital aspirations, you had to get on it fast.
Right.
And so I think it really acted as an accelerant for us to be able to really focus on that strategy, deliver against it, and really redefine who we are at the company and importantly where we're taking the company. So it was a roller coaster mm-hmm. of 18 months as we sit here today. But as we sit here today, I couldn't feel better about where the company is. All that we were able to do in the last 18 months around, you know, launching our digital products mm-hmm. in Pennsylvania and three other states, and we're going to be live in a total of 9 states by the start of football season. Mm-hmm. Our core brick and mortar business is producing revenues and EBITDA and margins like we've never seen before in the history mm-hmm. of the industry. We now own a media business that is one of the fastest growing sports media businesses in the world. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't feel better about how all three of those come together and essentially how we think about, you know, building this out in the future. I think what we're attempting to do really transcends any of those individual verticals of business.
Right.
And so it's pretty exciting as you think about where we're going to be in the next you know, 4, 5, 6 years.
Well, it must have validated your strategy. I mean, when online gaming exploded during the pandemic, and now it really hasn't really leveled off that much. It's still increasing. I mean, that must have made you feel good that, yeah, we had the right strategy even before the pandemic started.
Yeah, it's a great point, Roger. And you know, nobody really knew what was going to happen when online sports, online casino, mm-hmm. and then what are the implications of the core brick and mortar casinos and retail sports books. And New Jersey's now been at this the longest, but you have other examples of Pennsylvania and Michigan. And what we found in all three of those states, we operate in two of those today mm-hmm. and have all of those offerings. We don't have any brick and mortar presence in New Jersey, but we are going to be launching online sports, online casino by football season. What we found in Pennsylvania and Michigan is that in some cases, you've got customers that had traditionally been brick and mortar mm-hmm. casino frequenters only because it was the only form of casino gambling at the time that was legal. And at the advent of online casino and online sports betting, the ones that decided to participate in both forms, maybe their play was down a little bit in the brick and mortar, but if you were to add what their engagement and their total spend mm-hmm. was across the different platforms, in every scenario it was higher.
Right.
Okay, so it's like the 1 + 1 equaled something more than 2.
Sure.
That has played out in Pennsylvania. And so if you just look at the brick and mortar casino results, you might say, oh, it looks like it's down a little bit mm-hmm. post-pandemic versus 19, and other states are actually showing growth. Mm-hmm. But when you add in the business of online sports betting and the business of online casino, mm-hmm. the overall pie in Pennsylvania has grown much larger than it was in 2019 pre-pandemic.
Right.
And I think this is really that speaks to our differentiation, Roger, is that we are set up to have, because of all of our built-in advantages around, you know, the Barstool ownership and not having to get into the crazy arms race of mm-hmm. paid advertising and TV commercials and all of this chase for promiscuous customers with the biggest promotions, we have a business across all the different verticals that is set up to have the best margin profile. And so I am indifferent. As long as we have people within this ecosystem that we've created of experiences across sports betting and online casino and brick and mortar casino, we don't really care which of those you spend most of your time on.
Sure,
because we know we have best in class offerings. We know that we're going to have best in class margin profile. We already do brick and mortar. We already do online.
Right.
We just want you to, we want to create experiences that generate loyalty and retention. Mm-hmm. And so our focus right now is all on making sure that we get launched in all the states that are legal, mm-hmm. that we create scale. We have to continue to improve our product offering, both from a digital standpoint and a core brick and mortar standpoint, and make sure that we've got differentiated experiences and content to keep people excited and coming back because we're doing things that no one else is doing.
Sure.
That's really our focus right
now. Absolutely. And I want to go through the bricks and mortar side to begin with here. You mentioned great revenues in most of your properties. Do you think this pent up demand, which I think is driving that, is that going to maintain itself, or is it going to level off eventually?
There will probably be some leveling off. Mm-hmm. But I'm optimistic that you're going to see most of the revenue growth over 2019 is here to stay. And I think that it's really for two reasons. Some of what's driving it today that may fall off a little bit is that there have been limited other entertainment options available right. for people over the course of the last 12, 15 months, as mm-hmm. we sit here in July 2021.
Right.
And there are more now. You can now go back sure. to ball games yep. and you can go to concerts and you can go back to the movie theaters right. and restaurants and bars are open. And I'm happy about all those things sure. as anybody, because right. I enjoy all of them as well. So if you start to see a little bit more of a sharing of wallet with younger demographics who were only going to the casinos because it was the form of entertainment that was open
right.
in close proximity, what we have not seen come back to 2019 levels yet mm-hmm. is the older demographics, right? So when you look at our 65 plus age demographic at our brick and mortar casinos, it's still down versus 2019.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing is that it's continuing to get better. It was down as high as 40%
right.
during the peak of COVID. Then it was down 30% toward the end of last year. Then it was down about 20% at the beginning of 2021. Mm-hmm. And now it's down about 10%. But it's still down. And
right.
so I think there's going to be a bit of a trade-off that mm-hmm. if you start losing or splitting visits with some of the younger demos because they're starting to partake in other forms of entertainment,
right.
I think that's going to be offset by us continuing to get the 65 plus,
right.
maybe after they've been vaccinated
yeah.
or after they've mm-hmm. gotten comfortable that COVID's a little bit more in the rearview mirror.
Sure.
I think we're going to see growth in that segment
mm-hmm.
in the not too distant future that I think will probably offset or mostly offset any lost business as people are partaking in other forms of entertainment.
Sure. Okay, great. So you recently resumed management of the Hollywood Casino in Maryland, in Perryville. I know you guys built that.
Yeah.
And I guess I lost track of what happened in the ownership of that. And now you're resuming management there. Give me a little timeline.
We are. And part of why it's confusing, Roger,
yeah.
is that the name never changed.
Right,
it was
exactly,
always
right.
Hollywood Casino at
yeah.
Perryville in Maryland. And we did. We built that property, opened that property when Penn was a holdco, when it was before we spun off the
right.
real estate
mm-hmm.
with GLPI forming
right.
as the industry's first REIT. And when we did spin off the real estate, there were two properties in the portfolio that went over with GLPI to
mm-hmm.
be owned and managed by GLPI
okay.
as part of their taxable REIT subsidiary.
I
won't get into the weeds with you
sure.
as to why it happened, the mechanics of
yeah.
it, but there were two properties that actually were wholly owned and operated by GLPI.
Okay.
The other one was in Baton Rouge.
Right.
We would have loved to bring that one back into the family as well,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't for concentration
right.
reasons
exactly,
because
right.
we have L'Auberge
mm-hmm.
in Baton Rouge.
Right.
But Perryville is a property that, you know, it's still a Penn property in my
sure.
eyes.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So many of the team members are day one.
Yeah.
And so for them, it's like they're just back at Penn again.
Right, yeah.
But even when they were gone, they were still kind of with Penn because GLPI was mostly Penn people.
Exactly,
and so
right, yeah.
it's it can be confusing as to what the history is there.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is we now own and operate Perryville again on the Penn side from an OpCo standpoint. And importantly, it gets us another presence back in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the 20th state that we actually operate in the U.S. And that's by far the most of any gaming company
right.
out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important, one, because we got the team members back in the family
sure.
and you know, we hired so many of them and have longstanding relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It's a healthy business that's growing.
Right.
Post-COVID, they've been growing at 15 to 20% versus
mm-hmm.
2019, which is terrific.
Right.
And then lastly, sports betting is coming soon to Maryland.
Sure. Yes,
and so
right.
this gives us an opportunity to participate in that without
mm-hmm.
the friction costs of having to figure out how to get access and
right.
pay a rev share
mm-hmm.
to somebody else. We're in Maryland as an operator, and we look forward to participating in retail and online sports betting there in the fall
sure,
or the winter.
Great. So another jurisdiction you're deeply involved in is Illinois and Northern Indiana as well. With all the gaming expansion going on in the Chicago region, are you concerned that you're going to lose some market share there?
Well, there's always a concern whenever there's new supply coming
right.
into a market. Roger, what's been interesting is that Hard Rock in Gary, Indiana,
mm-hmm.
so you'll recall there were two boats in Gary.
Right.
They relocated to
mm-hmm.
land-based at a better location off the interstate right. there. And they opened a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. Our property in East Chicago, the right. Ameristar property, we anticipated would feel some cannibalization sure, right. from that. And what we found is what I think we've known to be true for a long time is that Chicago, because there really aren't any casinos other than the Rivers property near the O'Hare Airport right. in Des Plaines, there really aren't, that's the only casino that is really accessible to people in Chicago.
Right, yeah.
Everyone, all the others are in suburbs and mm-hmm. you have to get in your car and drive for an hour to get to.
Sure, right.
And the Gary property, the new Hard Rock property is no different.
Mm-hmm.
What we found is that that new Hard Rock offering has really grown the market so far in the first couple of months mm-hmm. because if you look at our results at Ameristar and the Horseshoe in Hammond mm-hmm. and Rivers in Des Plaines,
right.
all three of us are showing growth over 2019. And the Hard Rock property, I think, is hitting numbers mm-hmm. that they were hoping to hit, doing
sure.
20 to 25 million a month in
right.
GGR. So I'm knocking on wood, but yeah. it looks like it's more of a grow the market story
mm-hmm.
than it is a cannibalization story. And we've invested a lot of money in that East Chicago property.
Sure, right.
We've brought a lot of the gaming offerings, land-based in the Pavilion. We launched Barstool Sports Bar and Sports mm-hmm. Book there. New high limit areas, restaurant renovations, hotel renovations. And so we're set up really well. We've
right.
got a, we've got a really nice property. Our team there delivers outstanding guest service. And so far, so good. We're feeling
right.
like we can hold up quite well in that market.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about Pennsylvania. You're opening your first mini casino, right? Is it,
yeah.
That's the first one, right?
It is, yeah.
yeah. Okay.
We there have been a couple that have opened in the state.
Right, yeah.
This is the, we have two that are under construction.
Okay.
One in York,
right.
which is the one that's opening in about a month,
mm-hmm.
in middle of August. And then we have another one, actually, you probably drove by it on your way in, right off of I-176.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And right where it hits the 476. And we are opening that property by the end of this year, probably
okay.
right around New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really exciting because both of those are, though they're small casinos, they're in markets that we think are, you know, ripe for growth.
Right.
And people in those markets have to hop in a car and drive for an hour to get to the nearest casino offering. These will be brand new products, brand new offerings.
Mm-hmm.
I just visited the York property, which is the first time that we've ever tried to do this inside of a mall.
Right. Yeah.
So it's an old Sears, and my expectations were not super high when I went to visit.
Sure.
Our design and construction team, led by Mike Carroll, has done an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away, impressed at
yeah.
how great the experience was, the sense of arrival, the branding,
mm-hmm.
the signage, the porte cochere, the food and beverage offerings, the table game area. I think both of these places are going to do
mm-hmm.
really, really well. And we're really excited to open them up. It's
yeah.
all coming soon.
Sure.
We had to hit pause on those projects during
yeah.
COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to open in 2020.
Right.
So it's great to finally get to the finish line here in 2021.
Sure. Well, you know, years ago doing my research on the Pennsylvania market, it became pretty clear that the 90% of the revenue from every casino in Pennsylvania came within like 25 miles or so. So that left a lot of other Pennsylvania wide open. What are your expectations for that property?
Yeah, well, it's small, right?
Yeah.
We're limited on the number of slot machines and table games you
sure.
can have there. I think it's capped at, if memory serves, 750 machines
yeah.
and 40 table games.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be at that full capacity or the full allowance in Morgantown. York, we're starting a little bit smaller,
mm-hmm.
but we have the footprint to be able to build out to the max.
Okay.
So it's hard to say because you are limited. I think it depends
right.
on, you know, what is the capacity? What's the utilization? We think that we're going to be able to generate around a 15 to 20% cash
mm-hmm.
on cash return at those properties.
Okay.
And if that happens, we'll be absolutely thrilled. And that's typically where we set our you know, target for any new project that we're investing significant capital in, like those
sure,
two.
Sure, sure. And the amenities, are they kind of just limited to food and beverage?
There'll be some entertainment.
Yeah.
The Barstool sports bars and sports books
mm-hmm.
there are really a destination unto
right.
themselves. And so though they're small, they're action-packed. There's a lot of energy inside, you'll see, when you visit
mm-hmm.
these two. Again, I was blown away when I visited our York property.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, it's the newest offering of entertainment, put sort of gaming aside, but in terms of, you know, being able to do lounge acts and offer sports betting and table games.
Right.
It's a lot of activity packed in a small
sure.
small place.
Right.
And by far, I think, going to be the biggest attraction in those two markets for just pure entertainment value.
Yeah, no question. So it'll have an excitement. You think.
No doubt about it. You'll see when you go through there. And I think given the size, actually probably even more so than some of our larger places.
Sure, yeah, no question.
The Peak family of top-performing cabinets by IGT are accumulation of years of research and development, a passion leveraging both internal expertise and customer feedback. Results are a series of astounding cabinets that command attention with sleek modern features, ergonomically perfected curves, and bold design. Every aspect of the Peak cabinets have been scrutinized to ensure a comfortable gaming experience resulting in exceptional performance you can bank on. Learn more at igt.com/peak. And now back to our podcast.
So let's talk about Vegas. I'm a little confused again about what your relationship is with Tropicana, especially now that Bally's has announced they're going to operate it when the deal closes. So are you still working there?
At the moment, we are still operating Tropicana. Bally's is acquiring the OpCo,
right.
And so it'll be owned by Bally's and GLPI will be the landlord.
Right.
We will no longer be associated with Tropicana Las Vegas once the Bally's acquisition closes. So we're just operating until that time. We do still own the M Resort in Las Vegas, which we acquired in 2010.
Right.
And what an amazing
property
that is.
Wonderful property.
And what an amazing investment that was for us.
Yep.
We've got, you know, just a unbelievable facility there. We've continued to generate just market share is great, revenue growth, profitability. Mm-hmm. We've got great offerings. We've maintained the property very well. The Raiders practice facility is next door.
Yep.
We're the official hotel of the Las Vegas Raiders. We've got a great relationship. We've got coaches and players and staff staying in the hotel. It's like basically like they're home away from home.
Right. I've seen you've got blackjack tables themed for
yeah.
For
we just opened Raiders Lounge and Raiders Cafe, and it's just been fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Raiders have been an amazing partner there. The property is executed extremely well, and I wouldn't be surprised in the not too distant future if we're talking about real expansion, like hotel tower and meeting space expansion, because we're starting to bust out of our seams, which is a good problem to have.
Yeah, it's great meeting space. I've been to, actually we put on a conference there years ago, and it was a great experience. So tell me why you decided not to be on the main strip. I mean, certainly M is on the strip, but way down.
Yeah.
Are you still interested in being on the strip, or?
We'll see. It's not something that I think it's not imperative for us, Roger, given our strategy of really omni-channel. And for us, it's a lot more important that we have the best geographic footprint across the U.S. that we can participate in land-based entertainment as well as in digital and interactive entertainment. And our footprint does allow us to do that today. Would it make sense for us to acquire a property on the Strip? I think it would have to be right price, right location, and something that we believed was going to attract not just the My Choice audience, but also the Barstool audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think at the right time and at the right price, right location, something like that could make a lot of sense. But we're not, you know, making outbound calls and trying to chase something down in Vegas.
Sure.
If it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, I don't think it changes our vision or our growth potential at Penn one bit.
Okay. So how about Atlantic City? You poked around there a few times. Yeah, I know you looked at Ocean when it was available, Ocean/Revel. Are you interested in Atlantic City anymore? Or?
Potentially, but I would say the way that we're thinking about land-based opportunities now, Roger, is it has to not only check the box of, oh, we think we can acquire the property and we can improve the results and generate returns for shareholders. We were in that business for a long time.
Right.
Doesn't really move the needle as much now on a one-off asset basis unless it's strategic in some other way. And for us, it could be like Perryville.
Mm-hmm.
As a one-off, that might not have made a lot of sense from an acquisition standpoint because the company is now generating $5.5 billion in revenue and, you know, approaching $2 billion run rate of EBITDAR.
Right.
So acquiring a property that does 20 or 30 or 40 million of EBITDAR may not make sense for us.
Right.
But if it gets us into another state
yeah.
where we believe there's an opportunity for legislation to pass around online sports betting mm-hmm. and or online casino, that could make sense.
Yeah.
Or an asset, as you mentioned, that fits another strategic need on the Las Vegas Strip, which mm-hmm. could be the hub and spoke business model sure. and a right. destination for our loyal followers and fans and those in the My Choice database. That could make sense. But you know, just to go acquire a property in Atlantic City right. to acquire a property, not sure we would do that.
Right.
It would have to fit some other strategic need for us.
Right. And you've got a foothold in Atlantic City, in New Jersey anyway, where you can introduce the Barstool sports betting there through your ownership of a Freehold racetrack.
That's exactly right. So right. when we go live, it's on the calendar for August in New Jersey, we're doing that through our, we actually, it's a joint venture between us and Parks, ownership of Freehold. Right. And there were three sports betting skins associated mm-hmm. with that property. One was for the joint venture,
right.
one was for Parks, one was for Penn. And so anyway, we have an opportunity to launch sports betting sure. on our own skin there.
Mm-hmm.
We do have to partner as it relates to online casino.
Right.
And so we'll announce who we're partnering with mm-hmm. There, and there'll be a small rev share associated with that. But yeah, the Freehold property does give us access to sports betting.
Okay, great, great. Yeah, so you can get it in New Jersey without having to make some onerous deal with somebody who's already got a license.
We control that license.
Yeah, okay,
that's right.
Great. So any markets where Penn isn't represented that you'd like to be? Obviously Texas and Georgia. We'd
yeah.
like to see there. But
look, there's markets that haven't yet legalized that.
Right.
Of course, we would be very interested in being there. But in terms of markets that are already live. None really come to mind,
mm-hmm.
Which is a great position to be in.
Sure,
we feel
right.
like we're in the states that
yep.
we need to be in. And if we're going to go after, you know, something on the M&A side,
mm-hmm.
it's something that, you know, we can be really thoughtful and patient and, you know, judicious in terms of how we want to approach it and what's our breaking point in terms
right.
of what you're willing to pay. We're in a good spot right now.
Sure.
Our businesses across brick and mortar and digital and media are all growing and they're healthy and the balance sheet's in great shape because
right.
we did two capital raises last year and we're sitting on $3 billion in cash. We can be patient and opportunistic and continue to just build out the offerings and the products and create great experiences for our customers and just
sure.
Go after M&A where and when it might make sense for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So Penn got its start as a horse racing company. I remember we used to put on a Racino show back in the mid-90s, and Peter Carlino showed up, and that was the only property Penn owned, Penn National
yeah.
Racetrack in Harrisburg. So how important is that element still to Penn?
Well, we still, to this day, are the largest operator of parimutuel racetracks in the United States.
Really? Okay.
So, it's still a big piece of
yeah.
who we are.
That's more than Stronach and
yes.
those go
out. Yeah,
that's
so
impressive.
We operate that. More tracks and
uh-huh.
and it's how the company started.
Right.
You know, so I always say it is in the DNA. I think as time has gone on and as we've evolved as a company, racetracks and racehorse betting has really created a lot of opportunities for
mm-hmm.
us in the form of casinos, online, and in some cases sports betting. So it's not so much that, you know, we look at horse racing as just one more of the forms of entertainment that we offer different diverse
right.
sets of customers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like being in the business because there are some people that like to bet on sports that don't want to go to casinos and don't bet on sports,
right.
But horse racing they're
mm-hmm.
into and they love betting on horse racing. So yeah, I see us staying in the horse racing business for forever.
Great, yeah. Horse bettors are certainly a different breed, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's a little bit of crossover with some of
yeah,
the other offerings,
bit, yeah.
casino and sports betting, but you're right, there's many of them, the majority of them like to bet on horses and that's it. So if we weren't in the business of you know, running tracks and taking
yep.
bets,
mm-hmm.
then we would lose a lot of customers and
sure.
our goal is actually to grow that base and across all the different demographics and age segments.
Okay, great. So let's talk about the Barstool arrangement here. Just from the outside, it looks like it's worked very well. I mean, you've got a great brand now that you can brand all your sports books. How has that relationship been working so far?
I mean, honestly, you don't know how a relationship, a partnership is going to go because when you're working on the deal and getting ready to announce, it's like a honeymoon period. Like everybody's on best behavior and everybody's getting along perfectly. And then after you announce the deal, you got to start figuring out how to execute on the vision that you've articulated. And we're now, you know, close to 18 months since we announced this in January of 2020 and closed the deal in February of 2020. And I take a step back and look at what we've been able to accomplish over the 18 months, again, from a partnership standpoint. And I think that Dave and Erica would certainly say that we've delivered on the things that we said we would be able to do. And they have absolutely delivered on the things that they said they would be able to do. They really are the marketing engine behind what we do from a digital standpoint. They've got one of the best brands in the world that Dave Portnoy created. And he and Erica and Big Cat and others have helped have just helped build this into something that, again, transcends sports. Initially, it was about sports, but it's so much bigger than that. It's lifestyle and it's entertainment. It's about experiences and financial services with Davey Day Trader. I mean, it just crosses over so many different verticals, and the fan base just continues to grow and grow and grow. And it's a young fan base, which, you know, I think it's oftentimes really overlooked when people think about the value of the partnership and where can we collectively take things over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. The average age of our online sports bettor at Penn with Barstool is late 20s. And I know for a fact no one else is near there, right? So even with online sports betting, it does skew younger. But our competitor's average age is not in the 20s.
No.
It's definitely in the 30s and probably in some cases maybe early 40s.
Well, I've been sports betting on William Hill for years, so that shows how old I am.
Well, I won't comment on William Hill's average age. I love betting on sports too, and I would bring the average up as well these days. But ours is young, and it's fiercely loyal, and they love the content creators at Barstool. And I couldn't be happier. Dave and Erica and Dan and the team at Barstool have been amazing. You know, and there's actually, we're all wired differently. And, and the companies are different. The cultures are different, of course. The businesses are different. They were media. We've been gaming and sports. And but there's a lot we share in common. Both companies love sports. Both companies love sports betting and gambling, and the fan bases and the followers do as well. Both companies have been sort of scrappy underdogs for a long time, weren't one of the big name mainstream, you know, had to really scratch and claw and fight for everything. And we share that. And so we're very competitive. We are wired to win on both sides. The other thing that I love is that we're both very long-term focused. You know, we're not chasing market share that we don't believe is necessarily sticky or sustainable long-term. And there's an arms race right now. You know, for paid media, you can't, you know, watch a football game without, you know, 27 commercials over the course of the game. And at the end of the game, if I was to ask you, you know, whose ads they were, you'd be like, I don't know. I don't recall. I don't remember. They all look the same. It's kind of like white noise after a while. And our strategy is different. You know, we really, we lean on our partners at Barstool and the content creators there to engage the fan base, which is, you know, over 100 million now across their different platforms. And we can be really selective in terms of any paid media and what we want to do. And I think that you'll find by the time we get to football season this year, we finally have scale. We're going to be in 9 states if Arizona's ready, or 8 states if not, and then 9 soon thereafter, 11 or 12 states by the end of this calendar year. And once you have scale, you, there's so much more you can do around sort of national programming and sponsorships and affiliates. And but we're just going to do it different. You're not going to see us running the commercials. You're not going to hear us on sports talk radio the way everybody else is. I think you're going to find that we're going to continue to, you know, work with really important influencers and have partnerships and affiliates that are outside the box, but we believe can create a lot of long-term relationships for us and bring people into the funnel. And then it's our job with great products and great people and great service and responsiveness and experiences to keep people and create retention in the process. So we share the vision, and we don't really get caught up in, you know, handle market share from month to month. We know what we're doing,
right?
And we know where we're going to be a year from now. We know where we're going to be 3 years from now. And we had to play a little bit of catch up. Our focus has really been on, we have to get live in as many states as everybody else is in.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, once you have that scale, you can be more aggressive. You can really focus on product enhancements and the product roadmap and all of your sort of data collection capabilities and CRM. There's all these exciting things, but we needed to launch. We needed to scale.
Sure.
And I think 2022 is going to be a year about just continuing to get better and better and better. And let's see what market share looks like a year from now, 2 years from now. And we have a good feel for where that's going to be, and the market will see as well.
Well, you mentioned the lifestyle element of Barstool, and I was really impressed during the pandemic when they launched this charity time to think that to help small businesses. And being a small business myself, I can see everybody needed that help. And you know, you guys raised millions and millions of dollars for that.
Yeah, over $30 million and helped hundreds of small businesses. And it was Dave Portnoy's idea. I think somebody DM'd him and said, hey, you've got this huge audience. There's all these small businesses that are really struggling. Can you help?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. You know, it's like, if I'm here complaining about the fact that small businesses are getting hurt, maybe there's something I can do to actually help them. And he wrote a check. Lots of us wrote checks to the cause. And we were able to raise a lot of money because the fan base loves what Dave was doing. And what better cause than helping small businesses that were forced to close for no fault of their own and try to provide them a lifeline to get them to the other side of COVID. And being able to, you know, help save hundreds of small businesses across the country, really powerful. And again, I think it's easy, especially for those that, you know, are the anti-Barstools, right? The ones that don't like the brands. It's, there's things you can always sort of look at and point at from, you know, years ago that may have been taken out of context or something that was said that, you know, definitely wouldn't be said today, but was said 10 years ago or whatever, whatever the example might be. They don't get enough credit for all the great things they do. And this is a company and a group of people at Barstool that care so much about their fan base, and everything they do is to deliver value, whether it's entertainment or it's helping businesses or it's charitable causes and helping in the community. The list goes on and on and on. I wasn't surprised to see that that's something Dave wanted to do. We were happy to be a part of it. And it won't be the last time that you hear us doing something like that. The Reading Terminal Market in Pennsylvania. I mean, there's all these great examples of things that we've been able to do as a partnership. And because of the power of their platform and their brand and their audience connection, it's very, it's almost surreal when you see it all working and the collection of people behind the brands, both on the Barstool side and on the fan base side, are very like-minded in getting together and helping people and businesses and causes that need help. And that was just one example of a long list.
Great. So you own 36% of Barstool right now, and you have an option to own a majority of it. Is that true?
Yes.
Any thoughts on when or if you'll exercise that option?
Yeah, so the way that we structured the arrangement with Barstool is day one, we took a 36%, as you mentioned, Roger, interest in owning, in ownership of Barstool. That does automatically, per our agreement, move up to 50% at the third anniversary, and then at the third anniversary, there's put call rights, which essentially allows the current owner of the last 50% or us to buy the remaining 50% or for them to sell it for the last 50%. And you should assume that that's going to happen. At the third anniversary, which would take you to, you know, February of 2023, the ownership will bump up to at least 50% and more likely up to close to 100%. And we'll work out all the details between now and then. But yes, you should assume that we are not only going to, but we're super excited to increase the ownership. And the nice thing is the way that we structured the deal with our partners at Barstool is that from a you know, leading with the brand on the sports betting side and from an online casino standpoint and retail sports books and sports bars, we really do sort of own it today from a branding standpoint, and Dave and Erica and Dan really help us in all of the design aspects of all of those things. So we never really viewed whether we owned 36%, 50%, 100%. I think what you'll find, I know you'll find, is that they're our partners, and we treat them as partners. We don't treat them as an acquired business. We don't, we're not going to change the way we look at them and how we think about them as partners and how we value them because we own more than 36% versus 36%. Right. And that's what I think has made the partnership so successful. They are a big part of what we do at Penn, and that's not going to change.
Okay, great. So on the digital side, you recently announced you're setting up a gaming lab. You're gonna develop your own games, your own. Does that include technology systems as well?
It does not in terms of the platforms that sort of house our online products today. This is really a content machine.
Okay, just a content. Okay,
yeah. So what we'll do? It's a company called HitPoint that we acquired out of Western Massachusetts. Really talented group. 30 or so folks there, and they create casino content.
Right.
And so what we're going to be doing actually at the start of football season this year, we'll start weaving into our online casino offerings some bespoke content around slots and blackjack games that are maybe themed to Barstool and Dave Portnoy's blackjack or Big Cat's craps and things of that nature. There's so many great brands that sit within the combined company of Penn and Barstool. There's a lot we can do.
Sure.
We want to have control of that content roadmap as it relates to what we're going to be able to offer from a digital perspective. And we're hard at work right now.
Sure.
And we'll have a few of those live at the start of football season for online casino. And then I think you'd expect to see new content coming out from that online studio every couple of months from now going forward. So be a big part of our story as we think about the next 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. You know, we are more of a content story than any of the competitors.
Sure.
Sports betting, I think, with most, if not all, of our competitors is a lot more just transactional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying they don't have great products. They do.
Sure.
But it's sort of a means to an end. I want to bet on a game. I'm going to download this app and I bet on the game.
Right.
And you can do that with us, but I think you also are going to be downloading our products and engaging with us for other reasons. It might be for entertainment value or to engage with your favorite content creators at Barstool. And maybe that's around what sports betting. Maybe it's around playing blackjack online. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just around laughing at something that they've said or done. And all of that's good.
Yeah,
you know, we just want to create as much compelling content and experiences as possible and create loyalty.
Sure. How are you going to incorporate the My Choice loyalty program into your online platforms?
Well, we're well on our way. We actually have My Choice now connected, not just with our brick and mortar casinos, but also with our digital products. The next and final step for us is to make sure that the currency that you're earning while you're on any of our platforms, you can use on any of the other platforms. So if you're earning on your mobile bets from sports betting and online casino, that you can then redeem those points inside of the casino that's maybe a half hour away, and you want to use those points to go to a concert or to eat in the steakhouse or play blackjack.
Sure.
And so that's coming soon, and that's the last piece that sort of links everything together. And it's really powerful, obviously, for us because we've been able to augment the offerings at My Choice with a My Choice mall that now includes Barstool merchandise. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to really think about that program as being age and demographic agnostic, you know, whatever you're into, if it's merchandise, if it's experiences, if it's going to the steakhouse, if it's going to a concert, if it's, you know, you name it, we offer it.
You can earn points toward.
And you can port those points and transfer the points. And so it's a very powerful engine for us, and we're going to be able to start really fully leveraging that here in the coming months.
Okay. So how about the cashless option? Obviously, the big talk in the industry these days with the Resorts World opening up as a fully cashless location. What's your strategy in that area?
We're very bullish on the future of contactless, cardless, cashless technology in the casinos. We refer to it as the three C's. We actually just went live. I visited our property mm-hmm. when I just flew in town at our Penn National Racecourse property. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. If you download the My Choice app and you already have because you like to check your account information right. and your offers and their mm-hmm. points, through that My Choice app, it now also acts as a wallet. Mm-hmm. And you can go today. If you go sure. to our Penn National Racecourse property, you download mm-hmm. the app. There's lots of different ways that you can fund your wallet, credit, debit, cage at the cash, yeah. Through the every devices mm-hmm. that we have, ticket in, ticket out, across the floor. And you don't have to carry a piece of plastic anymore.
Right.
You don't have to carry cash. And it's fantastic from a security standpoint, because if you ever walk away from a slot machine, you forgot your card in the machine, and then somebody can take your card and
right.
that all that goes away, mm-hmm. right? You walk away from a machine, and I think once you're beyond 6 feet away or 8 feet away,
right.
it decards you, mm-hmm. and the credits come off the machine back onto your digital right. wallet. It's very compelling, and it's great for lots of reasons. One, due to COVID, it's quickly become an expectation
right.
from a consumer standpoint, mm-hmm. and I don't even care what your age right. is. People don't want to handle cash.
Sure.
They don't want to carry plastic around. Mm-hmm. And in the case of sort of contactless, as we think about our restaurants, people want to be able to, you know, download the menu from a QSR code and mm-hmm. order digitally and right. have the food delivered, and then they can eat and dispose of it themselves when they leave. And for us, it's the whole journey. We're not sure. just thinking about right. at a slot machine. We want you to be able to do the same sort of thing at a table game. That's coming soon. Right mm-hmm. now it's slots only. Right. We're working with regulators for approval on games like blackjack mm-hmm. and craps and roulette. And we have some tests going right now at some of our restaurants at our properties around the country as well. So right. more to come, but you should expect us to be deploying these capabilities across the entire enterprise. Right. And that's happening in earnest. So we're going to get probably half the company there by the end of this calendar year, and the rest of the company in the first half of 2022. Sure.
So will you be able to use that digital wallet to sports bet and play online?
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon. That's, yeah. That's the goal, is
right.
one wallet for right. the entire ecosystem mm-hmm. at Penn.
Right.
And that's what we're working on behind the scenes. Yeah. So
and that's got some regulatory challenges too.
It does. But yes, that is right. coming soon, mm-hmm. Roger. And it's not years down the road.
Right.
It's more just quarters away mm-hmm. as opposed to years away. But yeah, you want to eliminate friction. You
yeah.
don't want people to have to, oh, am I on my My Choice app or am I on the Barstool Sportsbook app and
right.
separate wallets and I'm funded there
right.
and I need a refund. Like, mm-hmm. you don't want that.
No.
You want people
right.
to have one account and be able to bounce around within your app
yeah.
to your other offerings. And it's seamless for them. It's the same wallet. You can go to the casino. You can go back home and bet on the, you know, Bucks Suns game,
sure.
you know, mm-hmm. tomorrow night. And that's the vision. And
yeah.
We're just working with regulators to make sure that we do this in a way that the regulators are comfortable and we feel like it's seamless for all of our fans.
Right. So are you hoping to be able to transition some of your online players to the land-based casinos?
Definitely. I mean, for us, it's we view it as, you know, a flywheel,
right?
Right? So mm-hmm. if you have the right offerings, we don't really care how you come in.
Right.
To the ecosystem, mm-hmm. we just want to keep you and make sure that we're providing experiences
right.
and offerings and services that you're looking for.
Right.
And so if you come in through digital channels, we're going to make sure you know about our brick and mortar
mm-hmm.
amenities
right.
and that you've got compelling reasons to visit those.
Right.
And if you come in through brick and mortar, we can cross sell you to the digital offerings. If you come in through online casino, we can cross sell you to online sports and online sports to online casino. We're doing all of this in
right.
Pennsylvania and Michigan right now. It's very compelling, very exciting. And
right.
I think it's not a matter of if, but when states that have legal forms of casinos today, if they haven't legalized online sports betting, that's happening fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think online casino, because of the success that we're seeing in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Michigan,
right.
it's just a matter of time before you see that continue to roll out across different states.
Okay.
But we want to keep our customers happy and we want right. to grow the customer base. And
yeah.
so whatever form that takes, we're focused on it.
Okay, great. So you just reported a really stellar first quarter, and your analysts were impressed with your low debt load, your cash flow. How much of that was attributable to the mobile wagering systems you have?
Well, most of it at this point is, in terms of the revenues and the cash flow, is still being predominantly driven by our core business, the brick and mortar casinos, as we've reopened and there's pent up demand. We talked about that earlier. What's different for us on the digital side is that we're still building out our capabilities. We now have well over 300 total team members in our Penn Interactive division, which a couple of years ago didn't exist. And it's exciting because we are live in four states today, Roger, as you know, but we've scaled up an organization to be live in 12 states, which we will be by the end of this year. And despite only being live in four states, that business is not losing money. It's actually break even for us. No one else in the space can say that.
Right.
Everyone else is having a hard time generating profit because of the aggressive marketing spends. And I think what you're going to find for us is that as the quarters sort of move forward and we have scale, that we're going to move from break even to profitable quickly. And we're not one of the companies that has to tell a story of, oh, there'll be an inflection point in 2025. You're going to see profits being driven from our interactive division in the coming quarters, not in 3 or 4 years from now. So it's a different strategy, and we think it's one that in the long term is a winning strategy.
Okay, great. Well, just one more question. You know, Penn has been the third largest gaming company in the U.S. for quite a few years now. In the last few years, the top two have had their ups and downs and their roller coasters and things like that. But Penn has been, you know, you've demonstrated stability, organic growth. So why have you been able to do that while the other two had been in disarray in one way or the other?
Yeah, you know, I let those companies speak for themselves about sort of, you know, what's happened over the last 5-10 years, and every company faces its own sets of challenges. And
different reasons.
And lots of different reasons. Sure. And I'd say from our perspective, Roger, it always boils down to a couple of things. One, I think we have the best people in the industry. And there's a certain profile of person that we look for when we're hiring, from executive all the way to our frontline. Right. And it's people who are really passionate about joining the company and subscribe to the vision that we've created. And people that are, you know, going to be focused on delivering great experiences. And we've been simultaneously, and the other factor I think is that we've always been disciplined in how we think about investments, how we think about capital allocation, how we think about M&A. And I think our track record's been really good, where we've set the company up for success. We've been able to continue to grow. We've diversified. We were able to pivot and move from a horse racing company to a horse racing and casino company. And then we started getting into the social gaming business. We spun off our real estate. We've been a trailblazer in a lot of different areas. And I don't think you should expect that to change. If anything, I think you should expect that to accelerate, because we thrive in environments of chaos.
Right.
And I think we've proven that a lot over the last 18 months. We welcome it. We think we can navigate it. We operate as a really flat organization, so people are empowered to make decisions. And we move quick. You know, we adjust. If we make mistakes, we admit it and we move on. And but we're not afraid to make those mistakes. And I think that really makes us different.
Great, great. Well, Jay, congratulations on what you've achieved here over the past 18 months, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen over the next couple of years. It sounds like you've got some great plans, and I'm looking forward to seeing them come to fruition.
Thank you. Well, we're as excited as you are, Roger. As we always say, buckle up, because it's going to be an exciting ride, as it has been the last 18 months. The next few years are going to be even more exciting. So great to see you, as it always is.
Great. Thank you.
There should be laughter after pain. There should be sunshine.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast, with special thanks to IGT and its Peak family of cabinets, performance-driven and player-tested across the board. Find out why operators bank on the power of the Peak at igt.com/peak. Learn more about Penn National Gaming and its expansion to interactive channels, visit ggbmagazine.com. For all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the recovery from the pandemic, delivered to your desktop every Monday morning, sign up for free at ggbnews.com by using the code GGB180. Don't miss any edition of the podcast. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.